Bhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu Sadu Dathayan Atine Chuchutaraka Hanamo Chikadachinamam Premno Ritkanta Yaspura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Everything is better than some and worse than others, and operation successful, patient died, you know. So if it works, be surprised. I told my disciple from Indonesia in Vrindavan, I go, if it works, be surprised, because that way you're not disturbed when it doesn't work. If it works, be surprised, you know. Actually, what is nice about that is that it doesn't work, is that human life is meant for spiritual life, you know, to become internal, you know, to become spiritual. You know, when it doesn't work, you have no choice but to become internal. And that's probably more important, because at least that works, you know, to become internal, at least that works. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, Verse Number 2 and 3. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Upaharyai. Sarpajanai. Masi. Masiha. Yo. Bali. Vanaspatyo. Mahabaho. Naganam. Pranirupita. Since it's not working, you know, we won't chant it. You know, we'll just read the word for word, since it's not, because it's not working. You know, operation successful, patient died. You know. All right. Oh, and there's another one. Like goats fighting. Two more jokes and we'll have it. Hey, Vyasasuna, what's happening? See, it's not working. Yeah. Swam, swam, bhagam, prayachanti, naga, parvani, parvani, kupitayatatmana, sarve, suparnaya, mahatmane. Synonyms. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Shukadev Goswami said, Upaharyai, who were qualified to make offerings, Sarpajanai, by the serpent raised, Masi Masi, each month, Iha, here, in Nagalaya, Yaha, which, Bali, offering of tribute, Vanaspatya, at the base of a tree, Mahabaho, O mighty Arn Parikshit, Naganam, for the serpents, Prak, previously, Nirupita, ordained. Svam, svam, each his own. Bhagam, portion. Prayachanti, they present. Naga,
Naga.
The serpents.
Parvani,
Parvani.
Parvani.
Once each month.
Gopitaya.
For the protection.
Atmanam.
Of themselves.
Sarve.
All of them.
Suparnaya.
To Garuda.
Mahatmane.
The powerful.
Translation
and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, to avoid being eaten by Garuda, the serpents had previously made an arrangement with him, whereby they would each make a monthly offering of tribute at the base of a tree. Thus, every month on schedule, O mighty armed King Parikshit, each serpent would duly make his offering to that powerful carrier Vishnu as a purchase of protection. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami has given an alternate explanation of this verse. Upahar yai may also be translated as by those who are to be eaten, and Suparna janai as those human beings who were dominated by or who belonged to the serpent race. According to this reading, a group of human beings had fallen under the control of the serpents and were prone to be eaten by them. To avoid this, the human beings would make a monthly offering to the serpents, who in turn would offer a portion of that offering to Garuda, so he would not eat them. The particular translation given above is based upon the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami and the translation by Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any case, all the acharyas agree that the serpents purchase protection from Garuda. Not bad. Not bad to purchase protection when you got to have it, you know. Vrindavane ramanareti prasiddha bhumo tatrapi krishna balarama supada mule gyanam param paramaya krishna sudharma chuktam dandastu deva prabhupada namo namaste sangasara dukkha jaladau patitasya kama krodadi nakrama karai kavali kritasya durvashana nigaritasya narashrayasya chaitanya chandramama dehe padavalambam jaladara shashivarno gopaveshikisho ro sahachara gana vrindai Kridamana Vrajesho, Latabara Jitave Sho, Nilapitam Baradyo, Jagatajanana He To, Ramakrishna Noto Asmi, Manjakalpadurabhyas Chakripas and the Bibacha, Pritanam Pavane Bio Vishnave Bio Namo Nama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Well, after a year, it's good to see everybody again. On our yearly, once a year pilgrimage, you know, and every one of us is better than some and worse than others. As we all approach old age, which is part and parcel of this community, so one realization that really got me inspired was Prabhupada's comment that a young person can never eat too much and an old person can never eat too little. And basically we're seeing it that fire does not work a lot of the time. So when it doesn't work, you're not interested in nothing at all, you know? No matter what they give, when they give it, you know? And you can never predict when fire will come. Fire can come at weird hours, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It can come at any time, you know? So basically, that's when one should eat. When one is, fire is there. Then you'll stay healthy. Otherwise, you won't stay healthy, you know? So that's the basic. You're not eating because it's there. You're eating because fire is there. Otherwise, if there's no fire and no desire, it happens like that, you know. And it's part and parcel. I'll never forget when I ran out of energy first time. And it was December of 2005 in Mayapur. And Jayadwaita Maharaj was there. So I, hey Maharaj, I'm running out of energy. What's going on? And he goes, you're a new member of the old dogs club. And the fun hasn't even started yet. And I said, well, Maharaj, what should I do? And he goes, oh, come on, it's just like a writer's pyramid. You know, you take the bottom off, scoop out the middle, and stick it back on. And when you can't do that, you just cut back a little more. It was very interesting stuff, you know, that he said. Pretty interesting things, you know. You're a new member of the old dogs club and the fun hasn't even started yet. Pretty interesting. Then we went to Atul Krishna's house for prasadam And along the way, I said, we'll never forget your one-liners. In 1988, you know, in the Clear Speaking, Strong Thinking course in Vrindavan, he said, it begins by courting, and it ends in court. And we fell off the chair laughing, you know. And he said, you want another one? Yeah. He said, I got this from an evangelical site. Preaching means to comfort the distressed and distress the comfortable. And I thought, you know, the humor of a writer has got to be really cool, you know. So he's good for that, you know. He's good for that, you know. Like that. So purchasing, the sloka is about purchasing protection. Well, a person has to do what he has to do. Now, some people don't purchase protection, just like now in the Bronx, you know, and Jadwita Maharishi should joke about that. Back to home, back to Godhead, or back to home, back to the Bronx. Take your pick, you know. It was pretty funny, that one. So nowadays, people that are being stuck up, you know, in armed robberies, some of them are choosing to fight with the people, even if they got a gun. Doesn't matter, you know, because they don't want to give up what they hard-earned cash that they got, or if they, because if you do have something, then, you know, a small amount, then give it to them, you know. It's worth it. And some people are not, and they're getting shot in the leg or something like that. It happens all the time, you know. So purchasing protection. Sometimes purchasing protection was like the mafia in Italy was asking people to buy protection. Otherwise, they would burn down their factory or burn down their residence or something like that. Some people just would rather take them up on their offer and pay them up, and other people would just simply rather refuse to take them up and take their chances of getting burnt down, you know, their factory burned down, an arson or like that. They would rather take their chances. So what should a Vaishnava Vaishnavi do? It depends upon the situation. Basically, if somebody is smart, then you're crafty. Because actually, Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, the famous bhajan, which is chanted in Gaura Purnima, written by Vasudev Ghosh, is Yadi Gaura no Hoitu. Now in that bhajan number 3, verse number 3, it says, Gau Gau Puna Gaurangera Guna Sharilo Korilo Mon. Keep your mind very simple. So that's what Vaishnavas should do. But in practical dealings, you're dealing with non-devotees. Then if they're tricky with you, you have to be tricky with them. Trickier with them. That's actually the idea of it is. So you may not be straightforward in dealings if the public is not straightforward with you. So buying protection is always bound down to 3 things. Well, you know, if you only got a lot, if you have a lot, then you pay protection. And if you have a little, then you don't pay protection, you know, like that. Or, you know, if you attach to what you got and you want to keep it together, then call their bluff and, you know, and fight with them, you know, like that, which is what's going on nowadays in the Bronx. You know, they're fighting with them, you know. And the last 3 holdups, they fought with them. You know, and they got shot in the leg or something like that, thinking that the attacker is not going to pull the trigger, you know, like that. And nowadays with CCTVs and things like that, you know, there's a lot, and people with mobile cameras and stuff, there's a lot of surveillance going on, you know. So basically it becomes a lot harder for people to stick people up and rob people and like that. And because of that also, it's a little hard for them to pull the trigger on you. It's considered like that. This is why a lot of people are trying to take their chances and call their bluff. You know, so what's going on? So this is going on. So it says here that 2 translations, that the snakes were controlled some human beings who were making offerings to them, and the snakes were giving a portion of that to Garuda, you know, as a bribe, you know, like that. So, bribes. Sometimes you got to give a bribe. Just like offering prasadam to the demigods is a good bribe, you know. You offer to Lord Shiva, you know, some garland prasadam, some charanamrit, some deepa prasadam. He goes, wow, you're really nice. What can I do for you? You know, and it's a, so, you know, for any demigod, it's good to give Krishna prasadam as a bribe. Now, there are some statements in Bhagavatam to that effect, that Dhruvaraja, who was fighting with all the yakshas, and so Yaksharaja Kuvera had to go to Swayambhuva Manu and Brahmaji to get Dhruva to stop it. So when Dhruva agreed to stop it, then he was prepared to give any benediction. Now, Prabhupada said, who is he? Kuvera, the treasure of the demigods. If Dhruva asked for all the cash, then he could have got it. But he asked, Dhruva Maha Bhagavata Mahamati Harishcha Vivre Achalata Matiraya. May my remembrance of Lord Vishnu never fade. Tarati Yam Tama, because that's the only way to cross over the ocean of ignorance. So Kuvera knew, he's a bhakta, he's not going to ask for the cash. You know? So he asked for the benediction. Take a benediction. And so Dhruva said, please bless me that my remembrance of Hari will never fade. So that was good, you know, like that. Another example was when the gopis worship Katyayani Devi to get Krishna as their husband. And in the Bhagavatam, Krishna's told the gopis that I approve of your system of worship. So that was pretty good. That was cool. Another example is the 12th canto, chapter 10, verse 34, wherein Lord Shiva and Uma Devi come and see Markandeya Rishi in his ashram. And he says, well, if you're pleased, if you've come to my ashram with a view to bless me, then please bless me with unparalleled devotion to the personality of Godhead and his representatives headed by you. And Lord Shiva said, tatastu, take it, let it be so. And then he walked out of the ashram with his wife glorifying the sage, like that. So it's pretty good. So there is examples in the Bhagavatam. There's examples of the Bhagavatam. Three comes to mind, you know, that, and you can probably find more, you know, if you look. At least three, I can see. Here is a chance when a devotee worshipped a demigod to improve his Krishna consciousness. So the idea is that should you give a bribe? Well, that somebody is better than you, you know, or in a more powerful position than you, time, place, and circumstance, then you may give a bribe, you know. And if not, like the Bronx, they're calling their bluff, you know. This guy's not going to pull the trigger, you know, so he's calling their bluff, you know. Like this. Or in the case of a demigod, well, they're in a powerful position. They've achieved their post due to some punya, whatever it is. They're better than you in that sense. So ask them for Krishna, you know, because Krishna is a little hard to get, you know. He's putty in the hands of Tulsi Devi and putty in the hands of his pure devotees. And Gauranga said that his devotees could sell him in the market for whatever they wanted, you know, like that. So the Supreme Lord gives himself to his devotees. So that is very nice, you know, of the very kind of the Supreme Lord to do that. And recently, you know, because Krishna's got very nice blue irises, Krishna Karnamrita Shloka number 45 mentions that. So I was talking to my deity and saying, wow, you got nice blue eyes and the whole Vrindavan is behind you. And he said, look, I'm not going to reciprocate with you until you follow Balarama's order. Then I understood that these two brothers talk a lot and they're in cahoots with each other and they jointly perform strategies together. And I understood it very clearly. You cannot separate one brother from the other. And Adi Purana in Priya Bhakti Rasarnava mentions, Yo Vai Krishna Savai Rama, Yo Rama Krishna Eva Saha. He was Krishna, certainly Rama, and he was Rama, certainly Krishna. You know, so they've got different color and a few different pastimes. You know, and Balarama is in charge of Sandini potency, the existential energy of God. The material and the spiritual worlds are underneath them. So, and if a devotee needs help, then he asks Durga Devi to help him out. You know, and later on, I found out in Puri Parikrama that Balarama's Karaka, executor of his will, is Mangal Devi, you know. And in Puri, Mangal Devi Durga, Durga Chitti Iti Durga, very difficult to cross over that lady. She's executing Balarama's will. So basically, if you serve the internal potency, the external potency comes for free. Buy one, get one free. And it's not bad, you know, it's not a bad deal, you know, like that. So who in the heck is her? Mangala Devi. Then I found out that Mangala Devi is the Karaka of Balaram. First thing I understood was that it must be good for Hari now, and that Balaram must have told her, fix his problem. And there's two people in this world you do not want to anger, and that is Durga and Balarama. You know, you don't want to blow their mind at all, you know, because they're very heavy people, you know. And the Bhagavatam, I didn't see it. I heard about it, but I didn't see it. The Padayatras visited, and when Balarama got angry and threatened to pull the whole city of Merut into the Ganga, kill everybody except for Samba and Duryodhana and his daughter, Dushala, like that. And then the Kauravas came forward and they pacified, hearing the wails of their citizen, they came forward and they pacified Lord Balarama and put Samba and Dushala in front of them and gave them back to Balarama, and Balarama let him go, and the whole story. It's a pretty interesting story. So it says there in the Bhagavatam that even now people can see the strokes of the club where Balarama threatened to pull the whole city into the water. So then I thought, wow. And I asked Dinabhanu about it. He didn't see it. But Sanak Sanatan told me, yeah, the plow where he pulled the city into the, threatened to pull the city into the Ganga, you know, like that. So I go, wow, pretty cool. Ooh, can we see that, you know? And then Sanak Sanatan told me that he did. In the Padayatra, they went there and they did see that, his strokes, you know, the marks. And the city is kind of raised above the Ganga, you know, like even now. Pretty cool stuff, you know. Balaram manifested a form 10 times bigger than normal. And with a huge, you know, imagine this huge plowshare, and he's smashing into the ground, pull the whole city into the Ganga. Interesting story. And then when the Kauravas pacified him, then he mellowed out. He became mellow. You know? See, he was a diplomat, but, you know, if needed, then argumentum ad voculum, then beat the hell out of them. Balaram was ready to beat the hell out of them if they weren't going to surrender to what he sweetly said, you know. So Balaram is very sweet, you know, but he's also very intense. You know, as Gargacharya gave in the name-giving ceremony, Ayam hi rohinu putro ramayan suratho gunai akhyasate rama iti. Balaram is... this son of Rohini will charm everybody with his attributes, and therefore he's called Balarama. Therefore he's called Rama. Baladikam balam viduhu, because he's very powerful, he's called Baladeva. And Yadunam apritik bhavam sankarshanam ushantyapi, because he brings together two families, Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva's family, he's called Sankarshanam. There's another thing in Chaitanya Bhagavat where it mentions that when Balarama in chapter 65, see, the thing is, Krishna kept promising to go back to Vrindavan, but he wouldn't. So Balarama finally got fed up and went. So he dropped his Kshatriya cloth on the outside of Mathura, and he ran in, dressed up as a cowboy, and ran in. Everybody went, woo! You know. And so Krishna's gopis surrounded Balarama, garouted, that, you've come, Dauji, na? So Krishna's going to come? Yes, Krishna will come, yes. So then Balarama brought Krishna in his mind and presented him so tactfully that as long as Balarama was there for the 2 months in Chaitra, that the gopis were freed from their separation with it. That's cool. Another example was during the Paniyati Utsav, when Nityananda caused everybody to eat, you know, chipped rice with condensed milk and dahi, then he cavorted around the whole arena with Gauranga, pulling out one morsel out of each pot, pushing it in the mouth of Gauranga. And Gauranga pulled out, took one portion out of each pot and pushed it in the mouth of Nityananda. And they're laughing and they're joking and they're going around. And only Mahantas could see that Nityananda has brought Gauranga here, and like that. So Nityananda also did that. He brought Gauranga in his mind and at the festival, at Panihati, at the festival. So that is also another example of Sankarsana. You know, so it's pretty good. These are all examples of Sankarsana. Sankarshayati iti Sankarsana. He who attracts together is called Sankarsana. So it's pretty good. You know, it's like everything is Kaladesha and Patra, to do or not to do, you know, like that. You know, to pay a bribe or not, you know. To pay a bribe or not, or just or just take him up on their word, you know, like that, or take him at their word for it, or in the case of the Brogs, to take them up on it, you know, on their boast, and assume that they're not going to pull the trigger, you know, and get shot in the leg, you know. Getting shot in the leg is a lot better than getting shot in the head. Because if you get shot in the leg, well, you know, you're down for a little while, but you'll basically heal, you know. Getting shot in the head is a little bit harder to survive from. Like that. Calling their bluff, you know. So basically that's it. That's how we see it. Now, hey, we still got time. What we got? How much time we got? Huh? 25 minutes more or 25 minutes we're over time? He said in the back, we're over time. Huh? Okay, hey, like Jayadvaita Maharaj does, you know, if you got a question, you have a relationship. If you don't have a question, where is your relationship? Both Manishinam, intelligent, and Mano come from the same dhatu. So look in the mirror. If you don't have a question, look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a human being? You know? So who has got a question for me? Let me try to serve you. You know? Who's got a question? Boo, we got 25 minutes. Woo. So who's got the icebreaker? The first question is called the icebreaker. You know? Yeah, Dravida. You got a question? Oh, no, we're in trouble.
Well, yeah. Well, this is a question I had. I mean, I think it may have been cleared up, but maybe you can confirm. Because I remember when I first read Krishna book, and we had this whole scenario where they're making an offering to Garuda, the snakes, as a purchase of protection, as you say. So my impression there was that it was a snake, because they like snakes. So you have the snakes, like, what, taking short straws, and then, you know, the snake of the month gets to be eaten by Garuda. And then what happens is that Garuda gets angry because Kali is just taking and eating the offering. So he's eating a snake himself? That doesn't sound right. So but here we got this whole thing.
So the offering must be something else.
Human being. Now we got this whole other thing coming in.
Or another thing is that that was... I mean, the offering was not a snake. The offering must have been something else.
Dessert.
Some other dessert to please Garuda, you know. Some other vegetables or something, you know. Some puja item, you know, something like that, you know. So? It must be, nah, because how, you know, Kaliya must be eating the... And unless, is Kali a cannibal?
That's cannibalism.
Is he a cannibal? I don't know.
Okay, so the conclusion
it
is...
The conclusion is it must be something else. It must have been something else to please Garuda. You know, probably some fish, or God knows, you know. Because Garuda eats fish, no? He eats fish too. Huh? I don't have any pramanam for that one. I don't have any pramanam for that one, you know. Now, one is interesting is whatever destined to happen will happen and cannot be otherwise. You know, that's there, you know. But other than that, you know, in this particular aspect, I don't have the pramana ready for you. I have to. Who, what? The icebreaker was what? The question?
Now they can flow, but not for me.
I don't have the Sanskrit to prove that. I'm sorry, you know. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I have to be truthful. If you don't have the Sanskrit, you have to be truthful. Now, Brahma Vavarta Purana, I asked Gopi this question in Vrindakun, that if something has no tikka, no commentary, like Brahma Vavarta Purana, how should we treat it? He said, with a grain of salt. Maybe yes, maybe no. The British proverb is, when in doubt, do without, you know, like that. So it's the last resort of scholars. If you have nothing else to quote, you could quote from Brahmavata Purana, but you're not going to be able to prove it because there's no commentary about it. So it's the last resort. It's accepted as bona fide, but it's the last resort, you know, the scholars. Now, another thing is I've been thinking about, if something is in Brahmavata Purana, then if it was so cool, if it's such an important thing, why it's not mentioned in any other Puranas? So it should be mentioned in the Puranas. Then you have something substantial. Otherwise, you only, if it's only in Brahmavata Purana, then maybe yes, maybe no. When in doubt, do without, you know. It was cool about it. Huh?
Dasami Tippani, Ramana Island. In fifth canto, Prabhupada put where this Ramana Island is. Fifth canto.
Yeah, it's
no,
a.
No, but it's, there is details given.
Ramanaka Island is somewhere
snake,
in Fiji.
Mahatal, near Mahatal. Prabhupada even gave this detail.
Near Mahatal?
Yes. Where is predominated, just above, is a half snake, half man. And that Ramanak Island is full of snake, fish, the other creatures are there. And they made this festival every 15 days.
Mm.
And one time, that's how the bribe was, the contract that he will come and he accept. His portion. But Kaliya could not tolerate this. When I am here, how is possible? So that's why he challenged.
One thing is this, that they say that Kaliya is still there in Fiji.
But Prabhupada did not agree.
No, in this one place he said that it was in Fiji, you know.
But what I hear, Maharaj, I was searching, Prabhupada said, they say Kaliya is in Fiji. Prabhupada never said, I say Kaliya in Fiji. Prabhupada, whenever the question comes, this is what I hear.
They say.
Prabhupada always said, they say. Oh, they think Kaliya is here. So I'm doubting that.
Yeah. Yes. Ooh. Madame one's got it with him. What's he got?
I was wondering if this would offer any light on the matter in the purport today's verse. It said Srila Sridhar Swami has given an alternative explanation of the verse. How do you say the word again?
Upahare.
Yeah. Upahare may also be translated as by those who are to be eaten.
Mm-hmm.
So the snakes were thinking those who are to be eaten, and what was the other part?
Sarbajanai is those human beings who are dominated by or who belong to the serpent race.
But if it's saying those who are to be eaten, isn't this the snakes are the ones that are saying that, right? That they're to be eaten. And what's the problem with snakes eating snakes? They eat their young. They're not a very elevated species in that way. Yeah, they're not vegan. And alligators, they eat. There's a lot of species that eat their youth. In fact, bears and the lions, they have to keep away the male because they'll come and just kill the kids. So it's happening in other species as well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, why is that commentary there in the verse today?
It's basically it's saying it could be either human beings that are being eaten or the snakes are being eaten. Either way, it says either way everybody agrees that the snakes gave Garuda a portion of the offering to purchase protection. That's what it says. It says either way it's either the human beings are being eaten or the snakes are being eaten. But what they said, what is clue? In any case, all the acharyas agree that the serpents purchase protection from Garuda. So, in either way, they agree to that. You know, whether it was, it's a fact that other species, other animal species, eat their young. It's not surprising, you know, like that. It happens. He's saying, and that's not it. That's also true. You know, so. They could be cannibals, you know. It could be cannibals, you know. And it's not surprising, you know. Yes, Pushkar.
Actually, because we're so stupid, the whole human race, they don't realize that there's a lot of additives in our food now. And it's made from, they don't waste all the abortions. They use a lot of them and they put them as flavoring in a lot of foods. You have to look it up. You might be eating parts of, babies that have been aborted. They use it for flavoring and many things, and we're not sure exactly what, because sometimes it'll say natural flavoring. You could buy something at Trader Joe and think it's perfectly great, and it might have parts of babies in it. So it's, if you want to...
Hey,
don't eat processed food.
Don't eat nothing. Then you don't have to worry about nothing, you know. Don't eat nothing. That's a lot. And listen, now another thing is that if it's offered to Krishna. Now, the thing about it is that Krishna's smarter than us. He probably saw it coming. You know, Krishna will accept it. Nowadays, people are cooking not because they want to cook. It's because they have to cook. So they're offering it to Krishna. So Krishna will accept it because of Tulsi, not because of us. Krishna saw it coming. You know, that's one way of looking at it. Hey, there is an article about tapioca that they allow cassava roots to rot for 6 months in a pit. And they're adding water, and they so many bugs and eels, and some fall inside it, and they polish it up and like this. So, yeah. And when you read that, you go, kiao! And for the rest of your life, you're not going to offer that or eat that for the rest of your life, you know? Yeah. Which means post that article. Yeah. Post that article and talk with those in charge of the kitchen department, you know? When in doubt, do without is a good idea, you know. Yes, Prabhu?
Haribol Maharaj. These snakes were highly mystical, like Kalia and Vasuki and so forth. But, and that's 5,000 years ago.
Yeah. So?
But now, I mean, none of that species can be seen or...
Yeah, so what's the question? Get to the bottom line. What's the question?
It seems like the whole Naga race has been exterminated or something.
Our vision is exterminated. The Naga race is not just exterminated. Our vision is exterminated. You know. So basically, that's it. Now, what was cool about it is that we don't see it. It says that the demigods. And they're not ready to come down here to pass urine also, you know, like that. Previously, they would appear. Like, if you read in Gaur Purnima time, it's from Adi Leela chapter 13, verses number 97 through 124 is Tripadi. Now, Dvipadi you can sing in Bengali, but Tripadi means 100% they're singing, you know. So basically, that is really fun. Now, it mentions there that the brahmanas, that the demigods and the wives of the demigods took the forms of brahmanas and brahmanas' wives in order to see the infant child, Gauranga. So that is there. So basically, it doesn't mean that these species are not there. It just means that our vision is not there. Our ability to perceive it is not there. And these subtle persons do not have to come down to our level to be perceived by us, you know, like that. So that's the thing. It's not like the dog has become a human being. The human being has become a dog. Like that, you know. So the demigods don't have to come to our level. Demigods or the Nagas like that, or the Kanaras or like this, or the Gandharvas or the Siddhas or the Charanas, like they don't have to come to our level to be perceived by us. No, we have to come to their level. It's not they have to come to our level, you know. So it's not like that, you know. Before they leave, they can take it. Yeah. Hey. Who's in charge of distributing prasadam like that? They can spike the punch. They can put this and spike the punch. Just pour it in. It's called spiking the punch. You know, this way distribute it to everybody. Yeah, it's good. And those who are leaving, they can take some charanamrita and go. Yeah, it's good. Hey, we got 15 minutes. We got 10 more minutes. Ah! How are we doing? We got 10 minutes? How we doing? Huh? Hey, we got some more questions. How can I serve you? Actually, to tell you frankly, we want questions yesterday. So write them down. If we don't finish them up, we can write them down, and we can ask questions later on. Which, because I'm going to be here, four more days or something like that. You know, like that. So yeah, yes, Mother.
I was thinking that we could see this pastime metaphorically and how it relates to us. So all the snakes were purchasing protection from Garuda. And similarly, we have to purchase protection from our spiritual master and Krishna. But then Kaliya thought he didn't need to do that, or he was being rebellious to that. So then he thought he could make like an alternate arrangement and sort of like do his own independent program. And then Krishna...
Due to pride with his accumulated poison, stock of poison, it was dead. Yeah, so...
Just like we can see it as a metaphor of like the rebellious conditioned soul who thinks he doesn't need to purchase protection. And then he tries to go off and make his own arrangement, but then ultimately Krishna like comes and, you know, takes care of him and puts him in his place. And I was just thinking that's like a nice way to look at that.
Because we should take all any shlokas of Bhagavatam and see how it applies to us personally. Yeah, it could do. There's different ways of looking at it. There's more than one way to cut a mango. One has to become determined to see it from different angles of vision. Yeah, like that. Yes, that's also true.
That's it.
Yes. Oh, he should go. Hey, yes, she's got one. Boo.
Thank you, Maharaj. I have a question. When I read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it was describing how Gopakumar, when he's chanting his mantra, he's going through the different layers. Mm-hmm. And when he comes to Maya Devi or Durga, he actually, you know, pays his obeisances to her and begged for blessings. And she told him, I'm glad you did that, because otherwise I would have not let you go. So how do you compare that with us? Like, I mean, something like this, I can't exactly say the exact quote.
The thing about it is that every Vaishnava and Vaishnavi should be very humble to offer obeisances and respects to every living entity. What to speak of Gopakumar offered it to Durga, you know, like that. What was very nice about Durga's attitude was that, well, because Maya means mercy, she was prepared to give him mercy. You know, so that was very nice. That's very nice, you know, that... It's nice that she was prepared to benedict him. It's nice of him to offer obeisances to her and all like that. And what's interesting is that the instruction is basically there. You never know who it is. So, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, Krishna Adhisthan Sarva Jivi Jani Sada Korabi Saman Adare Sarvada. That seeing that Krishna is present within the heart of everybody, then you should offer respects to all living entities. So that's basically good, you know, that they should do. They should offer respects to all living entities. That's not bad, you know, like that. And you never really know who they are. Sometimes the demigods, they hide themselves. You know, just like when Mara Shibi was there, one pigeon was there and a hawk was there, and there were two demigods that were actually took in that forms in order to test Maharaj Ashibi's attitude, you know, overall Baba, you know, like this. Basically, like when Bali Maharaj was arrested by the Varuna Pasha, it was Pariksha. They were just testing his resolve, you know. And he quoted Prahlad Maharaj, because Prahlad Maharaj was much more, you know, helpful in his development than his father Virochana was, which is quite interesting. Another question is, how did Virochana, you know, Prahlad Maharaj, how he had a demon as his son, you know, a non-devotee as his son. Basically, the understanding is there's no guarantee that there'll be a devotee. That's not guaranteed. What's guaranteed is there'll be a burglar. That's guaranteed, you know. And Prabhupada was saying in the lecture that, he said, if a burglar comes, you call the police. If your spouse and child comes, this is love. The male child picks the mother's pocket and the female child picks the father's pocket. You know, if they're a devotee, then, well, the burglaring is, you know, legitimized. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remained a brahmachari and became a sannyasi. Evidently didn't think success rate was too good. That was interesting. I like this. So I was just in Baroda and I took prasadam with my god, with our godbrother, that's Basu Ghosh Das. And his daughter was there with her two kids. And I'll never forget when she had her first child, I said to her that in Juhu Temple, in room number 201, I saw her. And when she had her child, I go, the burglar, you know, the burglar's burglar. And she goes, you know, I don't pick my father's pocket too much. And then Basu Ghosh said, she would like to say that. And I never forgot that, you know. I even remembered the room number they were in, you know. She forgot it, but I remembered it, you know. I told her in front of her and her husband, you know, Piyusha. It was interesting stuff. The burglar, the burglar. Yeah, Brad? Who would know it?
He was just explaining how 5,000 every Brajavasi has a deity, Krishna. So one Brajavasi came out and he was asking Prabhupada if he can come and take darshan with his followers. So Prabhupada said next time. So he next day he was walking and this Brajavasi was waiting exactly same spot. So this time Prabhupada went there and every devotee was surprised. Nalinikanda Prabhu was there too. There was a Durga Devi, was not Krishna. And this Brajavasi worshipped Durga Devi. And Prabhupada immediately bowed down and he had almost tears and he almost like a very choking. He said, she is such a great devotee, she is serving Krishna.
Yeah, Lord. Yeah.
So we never disrespect, we always respect the demigods. Prabhupada was himself.
What was nice about it is that Prabhupada was positive. Because there's no utility, like Sridhar Swami said, there was no utility in negativity. So it's best to be positive no matter what, you know. After all, it could be worse, you know. I mean, they could not be worshiping anybody, you know. And Gita says that if somebody has Shraddha in the demigods, I make his faith strong, so that they can devote themselves to a particular deity. So that's there, you know. That's there. Yeah, it's Pushkar.
But that reminded me of the story. Prabhupada tells it on one, I guess it was a lecture, that he went to someone's house in Vrindavan and they had written on the wall, Prabhu. So I asked that man, who is the Prabhu? You're living in Vrindavan, who is the Prabhu? And he said, I do not know. And Prabhupada said, just see the font. He is living in Vrindavan. He does not know who is the Prabhu. So I don't think Prabhupada meant it was Durga. He probably meant something else. But he was laughing. Who is the Prabhu? He's like generic Prabhu. It's just like printed, something like a something, plaque. Prabhu. Prabhupada said, who is that Prabhu?
Hey, Romani's got a question. Woo.
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj, for your nice lecture. You know, remember Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada in 1977, Ratha Yatra, Los Angeles. They took a film and they showed it to Prabhupada in Vrindavan. He was sick already.
Remember? 77 in
Ratha Yatra.
In LA?
LA Ratha Yatra.
I remember New York, but
I was there in LA, 77 Ratha Yatra.
Achso.
Prabhupada was very sick in Vrindavan. They showed him in a film. You know, a big, big Ratha Yatra in Los Angeles.
Which means he wasn't there. They just showed him.
They showed him the film in Vrindavan. He was very ill. In Vrindavan, yeah, the movie. And he started crying. He remembered when he was a small boy, the Ratha Yatra his parents made for him. But anyway, he said, oh, look, Narada Muni is there, dancing, chanting with all the chandalas, malechas. Wow. I think it's in the Lilamrita. It's written in the Lilamrita. Prabhupada said, Narada Muni is there. So he can see it. L.A. Ratha Yatra. Yeah.
So?
So he can see it. Sages and demigods, you know, only somebody like Prabhupada. He can see him, you know.
And he said it should be like an offering for Narada Muni too.
Huh?
There's some, these Matajis in California at the farm, they had it. Remember they had Mortis of...
Guru
had the Gurukul, they had Narad Muni and a few others, especially Narad Muni, because Prabhupada said there should be an offering for Narad Muni. Different time, at the Gurukul especially.
Yeah, they give them. Basically, they give them prasadam.
Yeah.
Bribes are prasadam, you know? Offerings are prasadam. And somebody asked about, like, with Vrindadeva, you're supposed to give something. So what should we give her? And I said, ah, she's a smart girl. If it's boga, she offers it. And if it's prasadam, she takes it. You know? She's a smart girl. You know? And they're always asking that story that Vishnu Bhakti or Krishna Bhakti. And I said, come on. She's a smart girl. She knows exactly who you're thinking of. You know, my Krishna, my Jagannath, my Gornatai, my Shalagram, my Giriraj. She knows exactly my Jagannath. She knows exactly who you're talking about. But actually, Prabhupada told Govindadasi in 1970 that the sloka was Vishnu Bhakti Pradeya Devi. So I'm looking to find the Sanskrit and I haven't yet. So one former servant of Radhanath Maharaj told me that I know one sadhu, one scholar, and he said he knew. But when he asked that sadhu, the guy was deflecting it. Well, I don't know, and blah, blah, blah. We're still back in, we're still, you know, still trying. Now, Atmatattva told me back in 1980 that whatever you want, the Tamil Brahmins say, whatever you want, you can probably find it in Skanda. Because Skanda Purana has got 800,000 slokas. If you miss one, well, you know, you can be forgiven, you know. 800,000 slokas if you miss one, you know. This one, Skanda?
Well, in the summary at the end of the Bhagavatam, there's 400,000 slokas in the whole Puranas. 84,000, not 800,000. Anyway, maybe you have a different version.
The Tamil Brahmins say that whatever you want, you can likely find in Skanda. Now, if you don't find it, you say, I said likely, you know, which means they're not wrong. Pretty good. Yeah.
When you're using the word bribe, it generally brings to mind duplistic mentality, that you're doing one thing but you have another thing in your mind, mm-hmm. isn't it? So is it proper when you're worshiping, you're not doing bribery unless you're motivated materially? If it's devotionally motivated, then it wouldn't be bribe, would it?
No, it's an arpanam. It's not a bribe, it's an arpanam. It's an offering.
Arpanam.
Arpanam means it's an offering.
Oh.
So one person calls it a bribe, another person calls it an offering, you know?
it just depends on the mentality. The way we use the word bribe is generally mean duplistic, that I'm flattering you because I want something else. I want to get something from you, for myself. It really doesn't have with trying to please the person. It only has to, more or less, exploiting the person's position and trying to get him to give you something. But when it's done as an offering, you're actually concerned about the person you're giving it to.
Yeah, an arpanam means you're concerned about the person you want to give it to. You want to please that person, you know. And if they're pleasing, well, then naturally they should give you what you need, you know.
But if that's your main motive, then there's something off there. Whatever you give me is all right. In other words, if you didn't give me what I want, then what am I going to do? I gave you this offering, now you're not giving me what I want. What kind? Who needs you? You know, it would be they pray to God, please bring my husband home from the war, and he didn't do it. So now what do I need for God anymore? They became atheists, right? So their offering was done with a motive, and then they didn't get what they want. They gave up their offering, isn't
they
it?
They gave up their mood, their mentality. Yeah.
Actually, our whole preaching is based on flat bribery now, because Prabhupada would often quote Prabhudananda Saraswati, Hey Sarva
Sakala Vihaya Durad,
Chaitanya Chandra Charanesh,
Kurutanu Rago.
Kurutanu Rago. So, Satam Maham Bravimi, 100 times I'm flattering you. How does it start off? Dante Nidaya Trinakam Padayor Napatya, falling.
Down.
So everything's based on bribe. It's not a bribe, but he's joking anyway. He's not using it seriously. Bribe.
Kaku shatrum.
Kaku, yeah.
Kaku shatrum means
100 times.
I'm flattering you 100 times.
So we're bribing these people that, and probably gives a nice explanation that Oh, and you come a straw on your teeth, Dante and Diatrina come, and you're falling down and crying. And well, why are you being so humble? Yes, yes, please, I'm asking you one thing. So what is it? What is it? So when you act like that, people are more inclined. And you say, just give up all your nonsense. Forget everything you ever knew and just worship Lord Chaitanya. It's becoming...
Hey, sadhu. Yes, I'm sadhu.
Oh, I'm a sadhu, yes.
Yes, I'm sadhu. It's interesting. Hey, we got to go. We're over. Hare Krishna.
The issue comes that the devotee should be ethical. That's where I think the issue comes. Like Sanatana Goswami, he is talking to this jail keeper. He lied. He literally lied once, and then he told him completely false goal that he's going to do. He's going to become a mullah. He's not going to become a mullah.
Yeah, yeah.
Then he everything failed. Then he bribed him with gold coin. I mean, that's unethical or ethical?
Well, in order to get his freedom to serve Varanga, then he did whatever he did the needful, you know. Like I said, if somebody is chattor, you have to be more chattor. What was nice about Sanatan Pad was that he was the prime minister, so he knew how to be chattor. Hey, we gotta go. Hare Krishna. Huh? So what did you do with the